ዋጋ ሊኖራቸው የሚችለው በስራ ትርጉም እንዲገለጹ በማድረግ ተከብረውና ተጠብቀው ሲገኙ ብቻ ነው። ወይስ ይህንን ቃል ኪዳን እንዲያስከብሩና እንዲያስፈጽሙ የተፈረደባቸው ደካሞችና ትንንሾች መንግስታት ናቸው?
Frustration, oh yes.
Driving by unresolved fear and insane. It's a talk that I'm giving on Sunday here in Mount Shasta of the same title. And it's one of the things that we humans aren't paying attention to. One of the things that happens on a planetary body is the Earth changes its magnetic field. According to science, it's every 600 million years there's a change. And science has traced it back 2.4 billion years, and we are right at the end. There was an article that I read in the Livingston Enterprise about 25 years ago, called 0 to 5,000 years, and the speculation according to the article was that it's very possible that there's going to come a point in time in which the Earth changes its magnetic field. And what that means is that the positron becomes active and the electron becomes latent when its positive-based energy is that which is active. Right now, it's electronic. Right now, it's electronic energy, which is interesting when you think about it, because it means the emphasis is individuality. Positive energy has to do more with collective connection, collective connection, than it does with stark individualism. Basically, the reason why I came into up with this topic is that one of the things that we see happening around the globe, and we've been seeing it for probably about the last 20 to 30 years, and that is just people will act irrationally or irrelevantly. I said someone picks up a gun and the next thing you know, people are being shot, and the next thing you know, people are dead and that kind of thing. And I've tried to understand it from just an egoic standpoint, and finally the realization came is that if an individual has any kind of psychosis, any kind of severe fear, and a person hasn't done any work on it, eventually the positronic energy that is the new basis for the new energetic base of the planet is literally going to drive the individual to do things in an irrational way. So what will happen is a person will pick up an implement, in this case, pick up a gun, or she will, and the next thing you know, bullets are flying and people are scrambling and that type of stuff, and we see this over and over and over again. It is curious in this country how there in 1982 I saw a cartoon ad on the door of a teacher's office, and it was a picture of a handgun and four rats, and the caption was, "The rats got cancer and 11,000 people died by handguns, and guess which one was banned?" And yes, it was funny. And yes, it was also sobering, because if you stop and think about it, since approximately 1980, and it's averaging between 11,000 and 12,000 people a year die by handguns, the figure worldwide is approximately 25 people in a given year will die by handguns in Japan. In Britain, it's approximately 14 people a year, and the list goes on and on and on, and it listed 25 countries, and the sum total of the number of people that die by handguns worldwide is not even 400 people. And it's curious, because I don't promote, I was raised in a household in which squirt guns were not allowed, other guns were not allowed, and so I don't have an attitude about guns one way or another. All I know is that if I have unresolved fear, that fear is going to be, how would I explain it, the fear is going to be enhanced. And that's not really a very good word. It basically means that there's going to be an increase in the state or condition of the existence as it pertains to the life of those individuals. Now, the question comes up, why is it that fear and darkness are a complement to love and light? I'm going to quote Conversations with God. "In the absence of that which is not, that which is not." So what happens is that within the composition or constitution of the universe, everything has an opposite to it at this level of existence. Yes, there is the fourth octave of sixth density, where light, love, light, which comes from the raw material, are reunified. Yes, there is that state which precedes the universe, which there is unification. At our level of existence, at our level of experience, according to the raw material, every thought has an antithesis. Every positive has a negative. Every negative has a positive, because without it, a given thing can't exist as it does. The technique that is used so that opposites exist as they do is inverse reversal. A given state inversely reverses into its antithetical state, and there is a binary vibrancy, and no, it is not good versus evil that exists between them. It is harmony that exists between them within the composition or constitution of the process. When we are looking at life on the surface of this planet, and I'm going to inject this because I just thought of it, is that one of the reasons why the death experience takes place is every single human being on the surface of this planet that does not have a viable, unique spiritual practice will experience the death experience. Death simply means lack of spiritual discipline, awareness, and connection, specifically. If an individual wants to change the death experience, all he or she has to do is change the dynamics of pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, suicide. It's all an individual has to do, and all it requires is a certain amount of work to understand how the dynamic is, because just as we have the idea of lack, need, want, wound, fear, guilt, arrogance, denial, ignorance, indifference, tolerance, there is a positive opposite to every single one of those terms. One of the curious things is that as we go through life, we are simply given the opportunity through faith, trust, patience, desire, and intention to have any kind of life that we want to live on a human level. And it's sobering when an individual like myself knows that the majority of people on the planet, to the tune of over 99%, it's actually more like 99.99999%, are simply going to go through the process of birth, crucifixion, death, reincarnation. Reincarnation of the soul is death of the body. If an individual body dies, the soul will have to reincarnate. And that's true of anyone. It's true for Paramahansa Yogananda or Sai Baba. And if Jesus left his body behind, it's true for Jesus. If Buddha left behind, if Buddha too. Because that's how the process works. When we're looking at the dynamic of fear, is the role that fear plays, it's that which brings about the cessation, demise, or end of something or someone. Love, which is the flip side, does exactly the opposite. Love is a creative agency. One of the things that I have learned in the context of my experience is that when I hold to a positive attitude about who I am, my experience across the board corresponds to that, and it's almost nothing but positive. Even when negative things take still, a positive experience from the core or the get-go, because that is what I hold to as my point of reference. I have this belief, or it could be a type of faith, it could be a certain degree of certainty, that all things work out for the best. And so what happens is, within the context of my life, that's exactly what happens, and I really like it. It makes my life very usable, and it makes my life very workable, and it's cool. You know, one of the things that a person can do. I said, I have the fortune that I see positive and negative side by side in a given moment. I also see love and fear, light and dark, side by side in a moment. If an individual wonders why opposites exist, it is not, as the coinage or the verbiage is, duality. It is simply extension and expansion of that which inversely reverses into a focused becoming. It has a binary vibrancy to the nature of the self. In our case, humanly, it's masculine and feminine. Within the context of an inner and outer, it's male and female. Just like you have right and left hemispheres of the brain, you have right and left heart, you have right and left lungs. And it's kind of interesting when you look at the body. It's like the body is like two beings in one, because you have the right side and the left side. You have two kidneys. You have two lungs. You have two curious things. Is cover half of your face, and you'll notice that one side looks masculine and one side looks feminine, which is really cool. Which is really curious. When we are looking at the process of fear, the death experience is impossible without fear. And if an individual doesn't resolve fear as an active dynamic or that which cessates the body, an individual will simply pass on and have to reincarnate. And the majority of people on the surface of this planet have died and reincarnated hundreds of times, and there are some people on the planet that have died and incarnated thousands of times. It makes me laugh, because in the Sikh religion it says that if an individual doesn't practice Sikhism as their religion, they will incarnate 864,000 times, or maybe it's 864 million times. It's one of those two numbers. And I said, folks, I said, it doesn't work that way. I say the atypical individual gets on with the process. And if people listen to the sound of my voice, they would shorten the process. The only thing that my love and wisdom do is shorten the number of incarnations that a person will go through, because I have ciphered through millions of ideas, and I have come to things that are very, very concise and very succinct. My clarity of insight is as good as it gets. Not that that means anything, not that that matters. Eternity says take as much time. The curious thing about eternity is that it gives people as much time and space as needed within the context of the process, so that they can evolve beyond misguided perceptions, short-sightedness, and flat-out false doctrine. And there's a lot of false doctrine on the surface of this planet. One of the things that is worthwhile is to understand the nature of the self according to the design, which is the will of God as the mind, the love of Yahweh as the body, the light of it as the spirit, and the consciousness of all it is as the soul, mind, body, spirit, soul, as it exists as will of light and consciousness, as it corresponds to God, Yahweh, it, and the universe, which just happen to be infinite, eternal, complete, total, and they act or exist in exactly the same way, shape, and form as the sun and the earth, the moon, and the universe as that which radiates, absorbs, illuminates, and encompasses. In the composition or constitution of the body, what the body does is it grounds positive and negative energy every 24 hours from the environment. Wherever a person goes, the body is grounding positive and negative energy. One of the exercises that I have found useful is to take sea salt, put them in bowls, and then simply put your hands in the sea salt and simply ask for any and all negativity absorbed and ground into the body to dissipate, dissolve, ground in the salt. I do this every 24 hours. I do it in the morning when I meditate, and I do an hour and a half meditation every day before I go to work. And I have started getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I meditate 2 to 3:30, and I simply work within the context of conscious awareness. Part of the work that we do is we resolve our issues, we develop our talents, and then from the perspective of conscious awareness, we make a contribution to others. one of the mistakes that people make is they put too much emphasis on money, and that short circuits the entire process because it's not about that. Money, as a rule, exists for the sole purpose of a class distinction, war-greedy class distinction specifically. And it is curious what we give value to on the surface of this planet, like gold, like silver, like copper, precious gems like diamonds, rubies, sapphires, opals, and so on. They are simply things that exist as they do, and they only have the value for the purpose that they serve. Outside of that, they are a contrived fiction. One of the curious things about jewelry is that people have expensive jewelry because they want to think that they have a greater relevance or realness within the composition or constitution of the planet. This is never the case. And the reasons why it's never the case is because within a medium that's infinite, nothing is greater or lesser than anything else. A grain of sand has as much relevance and realness as a place, thing, species, planet, solar system, galaxy, the entire universe. Everything has the same value. It is curious how we choose to live within the composition or constitution of the invader culture mindset, which one day is going to become extinct, because if we look at or listen to the news every day, the news is more about death, disaster, and destruction from the perspective of society, from the perspective of the weather. There's also an overemphasis upon competition. And that's not how the creation works. It's not how existence is. A natural state of something as a biology within the constitution or composition of the planet is stillness is to the heart, what peace is to the body, what harmony is to the head. So it becomes curious when we're looking at the process. It becomes curious when we're looking at how we are living our lives, how much emphasis is given to contrived fiction. If I look at things from the perspective of the invader culture mindset, the invader culture mindset is based upon hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, leading to the social practices of war-greed class distinction under the blanket protocol of conquering, enslaving, and destroying. It's very, very possible that the destroyer god Shiva, the warlord god Jehovah, Allah, I guess I should clarify it, it's Shiva of Hinduism, Jehovah of Christianity, Allah of Islam, and YHWH of Judaism are the same entity, and it's very possible that this warlord god, if you will, or destroyer god is going to return. And it's very possible that every single human being on the surface of this planet that is involved with science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine in any context or capacity are simply going to be destroyed by the god that implemented them as protocols, as systems theories, as ideologies, as ideals that people aspire to and conform to. It's very, very possible that this destroyer god is going to return, do battle with Id. According to Raptor, there's a tape, Jehovah versus Id. And according to Raptor, Jehovah is going to return and do battle with Id. Id is that which brought us to life. Jehovah conquered and enslaved us, and it's very possible Jehovah returns to destroy us. There is that which created us, which was Yahweh. The reason why we have 13 strands of DNA in our body is because of Yahweh as a creator god, if you will. And it is composed of 13 beings, aspects, if you will. The Mayan calendar actually has pictographs. They have 13 pictographs and 20. The 20 correspond to Id. The 13 correspond to the creator. This still lives. This still leaves God and universe. One way of understanding the entire creation is you have all-encompassingness, you have infinity, you have conscious awareness, and then you have personal, relational, social, global, and universal discipline and development. In my book, Love and Wisdom, The Art of Appropriateness, I delineate a system of development that is simply bonding, nurturance, encouragement, development, discipline, adeptship itself, mastery. The idea is that when an individual applies themselves to bonding, nurturance, encouragement, development, discipline, adeptship itself, mastery, there will come a point in time in the life of the individual in which self-mastery is the personification that an individual represents and shares. In one sense, all we are doing is knowing the self according to its design, serving others, and aspiring to collectively ascend. The most interesting vision that I have ever been given is collectives that exist at the highest levels of the universe, which is seventh density, and the only thing that exists at the highest levels of the creation of density are collectives that have ascended. According to the raw material, the third octave of sixth density is the last possibility for individuality to exist. Because according to the raw, the fourth octave is a reunification of light love, love light, into a single unified reality. And the interesting thing is that the raw refers to it as light love, love light. It's almost like what love and light are to the female, light love is to the masculine. And they are two alternating states of existence. In one sense, we can think of who we are as a dual binary vibrancy. Inverse reversal is the technique that's used so a given state becomes two opposing states that are basically sustained within the medium of time and space. The only reason why time and space is possible is because light goes from white light into colored light, and it is only from the perspective of colored light that time and space is possible as a perception of observation, which is something that we don't understand. It's something that we don't pay attention to. Getting back to the topic is that one of the things that I have done on several different levels, as I have meditated into love as a pure state, I have meditated into fear as a pure state. I have had three specific experiences of being so afraid that I was going to die that I could not move, and I literally had to work through the fear. The interesting thing is from my perspective now, I literally have the perception of love and fear at the same time, and I get to choose what I feel, sense, think, and vision within the context of my life. If I want something to end, I move into fear. If I want something to be created, I move into love. And the beauty of the system is that I am beginning to consciously manifest what I want as my experience, as outcomes of things. I simply state the stipulation of what I want the outcome to be, and that is what my experience is. Four things that I work on a personal level is God consciousness, enlightenment as it pertains to the body, miracle-mindedness as it pertains to the head, and universal conscious awareness as mind, body, spirit, soul. The idea is that when I accomplish that, then I will assist others in doing exactly the same thing until hopefully everybody on the surface of this planet is as conscious. Realistically, it's only going to be between 1 and 2 million people out of the entire population. One of the questions that a person has to ask himself or herself, am I going to repeat third density on another planet? And the answer to that is approximately 98% of the human race, approximately 99.98% of the human race actually is going to repeat third density elsewhere. And so of the roughly 2 million people that are left, those will begin the process of the discipline and development needed and necessary so that humanity can evolve until it collectively ascends. One of the interesting things that I have finally come to a clarity about is why there was the Industrial Revolution with its emphasis on science and technology that has basically developed over the last 165 years into what we have as modern-day society. Madame Blavatsky was the individual that had the responsibility of the dispensation of the new wisdom, if you will. And it was simply this, the adage is, or the truth is, or the warning or the caution is science and technology lacking a viable spirituality will self-destruct, will destroy, will blow the planet up. The reason why there are asteroids in our solar system is because planets have been destroyed by the misuse of energy, the misuse of technology, lacking a spirituality. The same can be said about the death experience within the context of the life and times of a given individual. That the only reason why the body dies, the only reason why the ego as body ceases to exist, is because the human being, as that, failed to develop a unique and personal spirituality that was self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating. I'm of the opinion that the mind is self-sustaining, the body is self-regenerative, and the spirit is self-perpetuating, so to speak, or the soul is self-perpetuating, in which the spirit as the life of within the composition or constitution of the individual allows for continuation or an ongoingness. The curious thing is that humanity is now at the end of the last cycle. There are 3 25,000-year cycles that humanity evolves through. Every 25,000 years, there's the harvesting of souls. The end of 25,000 years, there was no harvestable souls within the context of the positive. At the end of 50,000 years, there was only 150 people out of 394,000 that were harvestable. In this day and age, I believe it's approximately 2 million out of 7 billion. Now, the reason why there are 7 billion people on the surface of this planet is because everybody that's been involved within the composition or constitution of planet Earth has an opportunity to get their act together to be a part of what becomes the harvesting of souls that in the positive will lead to or culminate in collective ascension. Collective ascension is only possible after service, and what a person serves is who and what they are from the perspective of discipline and development, specifically resolving issues that act as catalyst only, developing talent so that a contribution can be made as and through that, and then conscious awareness, which is also a type of contribution. One of the mistakes that people make is they assume that within the context of their life and times, that intuition, psychic ability, and channeling, which pertains to intuition, is to God, psychic ability to a physical environment, i.e. planet Earth, and then you have channeling, which has to do with the universe. In one sense, all we are doing is we are developing our ability to feel, sense, make an envision according to intuition, psychic ability, and channeling, so that one of the things that we can do is we can contribute to the health and welfare of others from the perspective of God, planet, and universe, so that the contribution that we make enhances all three from the perspective or state of who a person is. What gets in the way of this is all the false doctrine. Science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine are the seven traditions of the invader culture mindset, and they are specifically designed to prevent the evolution of the species. Basically, Jacques Cousteau said in 1975 that as we go along, we are polluting the ocean. And he was of the prediction that within 50 years, the oceans would not be able to sustain or support viable life. And if the oceans die, every life form on the planet goes with that extinction. It's almost like what we're doing is trying to either blow the planet up or pollute it out of existence. And it's curious why negative protocols do that, but it has happened in the past. If we look at the historicity of planet Earth, Atlantis, the Atlanteans used or misused energy. And because they misused energy, it brought about the need for the submerging of Atlantis under the Atlantic Ocean, which it is now buried under sediment. So a person can recognize that it even existed. There was a sister called Mu that also was destroyed at the same time because the life forms that were living within the context of their application simply didn't realize what they were doing, and we were doing the same thing. One of the things that we have, I don't know that we have the full development of hydrogen bombs, but hydrogen bombs are 50 times more powerful than a nuclear warhead. And if we were to simply test one hydrogen bomb at the surface of the planet, it would blow the planet apart, and then all life forms would cease to exist. Asteroids, as I mentioned earlier, are planets that have been destroyed in the past from a misuse of energy, lacking a viable spiritual practice. One of the things that happens is there's the opportunity for an individual in the context of his or her life to develop positive or negative energy as the nature of the self from the perspective of contribution. There are those that polarize on the negative. There are those that polarize on the positive. Cool things is that I have been working on positive polarization for a long time. I literally made the stipulation in the mid-90s to stop using negativity to draw attention to myself. And one of the things that's really cool is that I have become very, very positive in my life at times, so the only experience that I have are basically positive things. Even when there are negatives that present themselves as people who are rude or obnoxious, I always move into or choose to feel something positive about who I am within the context. The real test is can a person move from something negative into something positive in 5 minutes or less? The atypical individual, as a rule, does not, because they don't understand the dynamics of fear because they haven't been paying attention to it. And if we don't pay attention to how the dynamics of positive and negative energy works, we will never come from a place within the context of our lives in which we are a representation of the positive. Negativity is to individuality what positive is to collective, connected integration. Every single state that exists that is positive is a collective that is connected and integrated. Every single negativity is a state or organism or person that comes from a place of exclusion, negation, and aversion, as opposed to inclusion, affirmation, and involvement. What is exclusion and negation and aversion? Exclusion of God, negation of life, aversion to being human according to the design. The flip side is inclusion of God, affirmation of life, inclusion, affirmation, and involvement with the human ideal according to its design. And there is a design that makes us who we are. According to the raw material, the lemur was used as the blueprint by the Creator that the Father brought to life so that we could exist as a self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating state within the context of that which is instantaneous, spontaneous, and simultaneous. The atypical individual lives according to the discipline or dynamic of the past, presently, future bound, and so a person is never present. If an individual wants to experience what eternity is, I recommend reading Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, because it's only within the context of the now that eternity exists. He had an eternal experience that lasted 2 years. I've had exactly the same experience that lasted 30 minutes. And the interesting thing is that I literally was in eternity when I was feeling that state as the now. The reason why I was able to do that is I have a meditation that I do where I bring in is nowness and I exhale at 1 minute. Inhale is nowness, exhale at 1 minute, and then feel what they are as alternating states of being, alternating states of existence. It's the same thing with feeling joy and exhaling pain. One of the exercises that the Ra recommends is breathe in the positive and exhale the negative. Breathe in the positive and exhale the negative. The advantage of doing that is that within the composition or constitution of a person's life, when an individual breathes in the positive, they will be able to feel their heart as the positive, as the positronic. The nature of the self can be thought of as a positive heart, the neutral body, and the negative head. That's one way of looking at it. One of the things to remember in the composition or constitution of our life is that for every single idea that exists as something, there's an infinite number of variables of the same thing or divergent states. And what I mean by that is there's an infinite number of forks, knives, spoons. An individual could literally endlessly come up with a new design for a fork and a knife, and they could come up with hundreds of billions, hundreds of trillions, infinite numbers, or look at the diversification of life according to species. So you have 12,000 different species of ants, you have approximately 350,000 beetles, you have approximately, I think it is 175,000 species of fish, and so on it goes. One of the things that we don't pay attention to is how the dynamic works within the composition or constitution of our life from the perspective of will, love, light, and consciousness as mind, body, spirit, soul that have an antithesis to them as well. If we remain stuck within the context of the antithesis, in this case, fear and darkness as opposed to love and light, what happens is that the experience is obscured. I was fortunate that when I was a child, I was raised in Christian Science because Mayer Baker Eddy, who was the founder of Christian Science, wrote the Science and Health of Key to the Scriptures as a complement to the King James Version of the Bible. And one of the things that she said is there is no sin, sickness, disease, and death. And I took that to heart. One of the things that's curious about fear is fear perceives everything as a threat to itself. It is convinced that a given thing is going to destroy it. And the reason why it feels that way is because there are those things. Water drowns things. Fire burns things up. Snakes poison things. Spiders can poison things and so on. Sharks can consume you. Bears can tear you up. And so there is a phobia that comes from a death experience originating or emanating out of a given species, circumstance, place, state, and so on. And an individual has the opportunity to face that phobia, face that fear, and choose to feel something loving instead of the fear that presents itself as a terror, because the person is convinced that they are going to, again, die from what killed them or destroyed them in the past. One of the curious things is that an individual can literally push through fear by letting it go, and I'll give you an example. I'm in San Francisco, and there's this cliff that has a double surface to it, so it's very easy to climb. Freestyle, and it's approximately 500 feet from the base, of which there are these big rocks that are covered when it's high tide, and they're uncovered and dry at low tide, which gives the individual to walk over it. The wall is approximately 500 feet high and approximately, say, 100 feet wide, and I used to free climb. And so I climbed to the very top until I got to the very last part, and there was sand. And I was convinced that if I put my hand on the sand, I was going to fall to my death, and I was literally stuck, and I was stuck for approximately 30 minutes. And so I had to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to wait until somebody sees that I'm stuck and then save me? Or am I simply going to let go of the fear, move to the top, to the trail, and then continue on with my life at times? After 30 minutes, I decided that I was simply going to let the fear go, and I literally told myself, I do not have to fear this. I am not going to fall to my death. I am going to climb and get to the trail and walk the rest of my hike for the day. I did that, and then I breathed a sigh of relief. About, 40 years ago, I had the experience. I was walking in the Richmond district, and I was on 14th Avenue between Clement and Geary, and I was walking towards Geary Street, and all of a sudden this dog runs off the porch. It was a 40-pound dog, and it's coming right for my body, snapping and growling or snarling, and I'm convinced the dog is going to attack. So the technique that I had developed early in life was to simply let the fear go. The dog slowed in proportion to the fear leaving my body, and when the fear was gone from my body, the dog sat, looked to the right, looked to the left, looked at me, and then turned around and walked right back to the porch. And I learned in that moment a person cannot experience violence if the fear is let go of in the moment. Livingston, Montana. In 1995, I climbed this rock face that's approximately 90 feet high, and what I used to climb to the top of this raw rock face are these little tiny little things that are 1/16 of an inch or narrower, and I'm able to put my foot on there, and I've got very sure foot. So I get to the top, and I'm hanging out, and I'm observing the view, and I'm relishing the fact that I got to the top, and then all of a sudden I have to get down, and I'm convinced that if I turn around, climb down, I'm going to fall to my death. And so I'm, again, stuck. So the moral is, don't do things that put you in a state of fear. The moral is, fear can be let go of, and a person can choose love instead. One of the interesting things about pain is pain can be let go of so that joy can be felt. Case in point, a woman gives birth to a child, and it's the most excruciating pain that the body experiences ever, because the flip side is the joy that comes after the baby is born and the mother is holding the newborn child, and there is this incredible feeling of joy that comes, and joy is a different state condition than love. Just as happiness is a different emotion than feeling wonderful. One of the things that I have learned is that when I experienced contentment, I experienced happiness for the first time. And the follow-up to that was feeling a complete in and of myself, and I felt wonderful. And so what happens is that within the context of my life as a content and complete person, I am happy and I feel wonderful, and they are two divergent states that can be felt at the same time. And it's very interesting to do that. One of the interesting exercises that a person could do within the context of his or her life is to allow joy to fill the heart, love to fill the body, light to fill the head, and then consciousness surrounds all three. The other thing that is useful is that an individual can understand the dynamics of how joy works, how pain works, how love works, how fear works, how light works, how darkness works, so that they are useful to the individual. One of the things that people don't realize within the context of their life is what are the only two things that are happening within the composition or constitution of a medium, the universe, and that is love is increasing its mass. Light is increasing its magnitude, so that when in the composition or constitution of the nature of the self, the collective consciousness of humanity can have the doubling of the mass of love and the doubling of the magnitude of light, so that the mass and magnitude of humanity as a whole is greater than the composition or constitution of the sun. That's what a collective ascension does. One is doubled by two, two is doubled by three, three is doubled by four, four is doubled by five. One of the arenas, one of the things that fear does is fear pushes, so that there is time and space within the composition or constitution of an ideal so that it can stand as its own representation. Love, on the other hand, pulls. Within the composition or constitution of the universe, there is the same force of pushing and pulling that allows the universe to stand as a holograph. That is another role that fear plays within the composition or construct of the universe as a whole. So it becomes an interesting process about our life and times, about what we're involved with. One of the opportunities that we have is we have the opportunity to work within the context of positive and negative energy from the perspective of our individuality and collective and relational states, so that our life can work on a personal, relational, social, global, and universal level. The other opportunity that avails itself within the composition or constitution of the life that we are is we have the opportunity of growing beyond a given catalyst so that our life is more enhanced, more empowered from the perspective of who we are. One of the things that happened when I made the decision to stop using negativity to draw attention to myself, which is the same thing of saying I'm no longer going to use fear, guilt, arrogance, and denial to draw attention to myself, my life has pretty much been on automatic pilot. Things simply don't go wrong. One of the things that we have the opportunity is to simply feel comfortable from a place of equality, balance, relationship, purpose, and harmony, peace, serenity, and tranquility. Because the flip side of hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, war, greed, and class distinction is equality, balance, relationship, purpose, harmony, peace, serenity, and tranquility as a human social state or protocol. We are a long ways away from that. There's gender disparity, and there's no such thing as gender disparity. It's like saying that the right hemisphere is greater and the left hemisphere is lesser, or vice versa. The simple fact of the matter is that women are the inverse reversal of men, and we are both the same ideal from a perspective of light, love, or love light. And they are alternate states of reality. They are like two different states of being. And then they come together, literally, in a sexual manner, and then they literally come together in a social manner and a relational manner. The interesting thing is every single offspring of a given parent is the equality, balance, relationship, purpose of harmony of both mom and dad, and then there is the bias of gender, because that's how the process works. It's almost like my feminine side is late while my masculine side is active. One of the things that I find curious is that people spend a lot of time wanting to meet their soulmate or their twin flame. And what I'm interested in is I'm only interested in my feminine side. And then I meet the representation of that as the women that cross my paths across the board. And yes, there's always something to take into consideration. There's always something that maybe one hasn't taken into consideration. One of the adages that I find very, very useful when it comes to people is, I am you and you are me, and this is why we meet. Another is I only recognize in others what I'm guilty of myself. So when I start making judgments within the lives of others, I always end it by saying, and that's what I have recognized about myself, and then I make changes. The other is to do an assessment when I am doing a reading of an individual, because I have a gift of reading people like people read books. And one of the things that I find is that when I'm reading someone and there's negative qualities that I'm recognizing within the context of their life, is there anything within my life that is like that? Yes, I am in possession of everything positive and negative. And that's something. In one context, there is only infinity, eternity, completeness, totality is the nature of the self. And then the question we have to ask ourselves is, why is it that we are so limited within the context of our lives to where we don't recognize the nature of the self according to the design at the same level of Zoroaster, who taught us about God consciousness, or Buddha, who taught us about enlightenment, or Jesus, who taught us about miracle-mindedness, or channeled sources that tell us about universal conscious awareness, which just happened to be mind, body, spirit, and soul. Everybody on the surface of this planet has the ability to be God-conscious like Zoroaster, enlightened like a Buddha, miracle-minded like Jesus, and universally consciously aware, everyone on the planet, because everybody has that as the nature of the self. An individual cannot make an observation of something anywhere in existence, from the universe to the sun, the earth, the moon, anything on the surface of the planet that is not inherent to the nature of the self. If it's not inherent in the nature of the self, it can't be conceptualized and it can be observed. It is curious how steeped humanity is in this day and age within the context of fear, guilt, arrogance, denial, lack, need, want, wound, ignorance, indifference, and tolerance under the blanket protocol of pain. It gives rise to fear. It gives rise to anger. It gives rise to hatred. And from the perspective of hatred, there are two states that emanate from that: depression that leads to suicide, or violence that leads to murder. And so it becomes an interesting process, because pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, suicide, pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression leads to suicide, and every single death experience is a form of suicide. We are not here to die. We are here to ascend, taking the body with us when we go. Now, how do I know that? Because I was shown when I was 5 years old that I will live to be hundreds of years old, and I will take the body with me when I go. And the cool thing is that I had a person doing a reading for me in 1982 that told me exactly that. She says, Doug, you will live longer than they think is humanly possible, and you will take your body with you when you go, and you're the only person that I have read for where I haven't seen a death experience. And the only thing that I do is work within the context of my life so that there can be coherency, clarity of insight, the oneness of synchronicity of the right thing at the right time for the right reason with the right person or people. I work within the context of my life so that I feel comfortable and the moment is who I am. And there comes a point in time within the context of my life in which the choice that's made is something positive rather than something negative, and there's a certain degree of consistency with that. One of the tricks that we have within the context of our life is, can we let go of a negative emotion or thought in 5 minutes or less? That's the measure. There is a technique called process resolution of emotional causation, where I have developed a technique where I can literally move in a matter of seconds from one negative state into something positive. And yes, there are times where I struggle with things where it might take me a day, it might take me 2 days, never more than 3 days at this point in my life. And yes, I do make mistakes. I do have errors in judgment, if you will. Even though there aren't mistakes, there's simply choices, outcomes, and then continuation from that. One of the things that we have the opportunity of doing is can we understand that we are each other? Can we understand that there's only one of us here and each of us is that one? Can we understand that fundamentally there's only God? The only thing that's happening is God became the universe. The universe becomes conscious. Consciousness contributes. And then eventually, after going through 7 densities and 56 octaves that compose the 7 densities, because there's 8 octaves to each density, there's simply reintegration back into that which gave rise to the entire creation. That's the process, and every single thing that exists is doing that process, is simply reintegrating back into the realness of God from the understanding that there is only God. The reason why God is a concept is not to be an idol that's worshipped. It's not about something that conquers, enslaves, and destroys. God, when it's conceived of as thing or someone, is not God. It is simply an objective. It is simply a projected objectification of the mind, beginning with the body, extending through the ego, and the ego, when it wants to be godlike, will simply project into object a deity that it considers itself as. It is part of the reason why people worship entities like Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva, the Lord God, Jehovah, and so on it goes, and so on it goes. We worship these things thinking that that's what the ego really wants about itself. And that's a misguidance on the part of the individual. God is an all-encompassingness that inversely reversed into infinity. These two states become conscious of itself, contribution is made, and then one moves on to the larger territory. Anyway, I am the host, Douglas H. McCoy. This is Welcome to My Point of View. I'd like to thank my friend Ince. I'd like to thank guests for being part of my show. I am unconcerned about numbers because, according to the Raw, it says if you have assisted one, you have assisted the entire creation, counting up the numbers. So I absolutely could care less how many people listen to the sound of my voice. The older I get, the less inclined I am to say anything. However, I have a responsibility for my clarity of insight to share it with others, hopefully to the empower and enhancement to the entire planet. Anyway, thank you for listening, and we'll do it again next week. Thank you very much, and y'all take care now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bye.